We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's start talking Open Championship. My guest, Damon Hack of the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Damon, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
And good morning. How you been? How you doing?
Good to talk to you, longtime friend and colleague, and I've always admired your work. And don't you just love this week? And I know a lot of times you're over there, I'm over there. This week we're kind of, with all the stuff going on with the pandemic, we're kind of watching it from, you know, our homes. But boy, it's been a great week, and conditions have been mild at Royal St. George's all week. Very little wind. Yesterday, the pin placements seemed to be in very tough locations. But today, from what I can tell, Damon, another gorgeous day there, not your typical Open Championship conditions.
Balmy weather all week. It reminds me of 2006 at Hoylake when Tiger played in that really kind of unprecedented summer. And we're seeing a similar type of weather this week. I think that's why the scores have been so low. Birdies are available, eagles as well. I love seeing the sunshine. Yes, you know, you say you want that rain and wind to really define an Open Championship, but to see the pretty pictures that we're seeing, to see the players able to get after some pins, I've enjoyed this week. I've enjoyed the championship on a golf course that, let's be honest, sometimes doesn't get the credit it needs. Deserve relative to the Muirfields and Turnberries and St. Andrews of the world.
Remember the Open Championship at St. Andrews in 2005? I was over there, Tiger winning a second Open Championship at St. Andrews. It was like 80 degrees every day. It was unbelievable. Remember that? It was so hot over there.
I was there for that one as well, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, for the golf writer and golf broadcaster to be able to walk around and watch some golf in those conditions, and for the players as well, it's unprecedented. We get about one of those every 5 or 6 years. But I tell you what, the guys still know what's at stake today. It's a claret jug. It's history. It's a chance for a couple of them to kind of step a bit closer to the World Golf Hall of Fame, as it were. So this is a huge day, whether it's sunny or 55 and blowing sideways. The gentlemen know what's at stake today come sundown.
Is this the major that Louis Oosthuizen can close? We know he won the Open Championship at St. Andrews back in 2010, but all those runner-up finishes in majors since then, and you know, after the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, I just thought, gosh, you know, he must be so frustrated, really, basically based on what happened in the closing rounds at the U.S. Open. But Louis has led all three rounds this week at the Open Championship. It's, like, amazing that he can kind of put that disappointment behind him. Or maybe he looks at it differently. Maybe he looks at, okay, it's second place. I played really well. Just haven't been able to close it out. What are your thoughts about Louis Oosthuizen?
He's trying to take the long view, the big picture, that he's playing great golf, and he just has to go one better. That was his words on Saturday night from England. This is someone who, as you mentioned, won that Open Championship in 2010 and looked as though he was going to be a guy to win majors all the time. And those close to him early in his career, they said as great as he is, they wanted to see him work a little harder after winning that Open Championship and kind of burn. Even Ernie Els wanted him to have a little more fire under his butt. And I remember doing a story for Sports Illustrated. I did a feature on Louis after winning that Open, and that was kind of the knock on him, that he kind of took things too easily, and the people close to him wanted him to have a little more fire. Well, the word is now that he has that fire. At the age of 38, he knows that time is not necessarily on his side. So he's playing the best golf of his career since winning that Open 11 years ago. And I think we're seeing a player who knows that the sands of the hourglass are running out for him. And if he's going to add a second major championship, he has to do it sooner rather than later. He's now working with Justin Parsons, a great golf coach who spends most of his time on Sea Island. We know the golf swing is there for Louis. To me, it's inside the ears. Can he block out all the noise and all of the questions from folks like you and me about whether he has what it takes to get it done? If he's going to get it done today, he's got to hold off a major championship winner and Colin Morikawa, and then, of course, just three shots back, Jordan Spieth, who also has an Open championship on his mantle, Clara Jugg as well.
You mentioned that fire for Louis Oosthuizen, and, you know, his demeanor is just so calm, cool, and seemingly relaxed. Sometimes you just want to shake him and try to get that, you know, a reaction out of him. But I guess, you know, being calm and cool and maybe having that inner fire is the best way to go for a golfer in his position.
Yeah, that's the fine line these guys are walking. You know, how much do I externally show that I want it? How much do I, you know, maybe slam a club or slap my leg a la John Rahm? I spoke to Louis. I spent some time with him at Torrey Pines during the U.S. Open, and I asked him about kind of this young contingent of South Africans, Christian Bezuidenhout, you know, Daniel Van Tonder, Eric Van Rooyen, George Pitsia, all these players, Brandon Grace, who've kind of come in his wake, he and Charles Schwartzel, his good friend, and he admitted that the great play of young South Africans have also kind of motivated him a little bit. He doesn't want to be pushed to the side and forgotten about. So I think that his eyes are wide open. He knows what's at stake at this point in his career. And sometimes players in their 30s play their best golf. You know, you remember Hogan and Phil and Adam Scott, Justin Rose. Those are players who broke through for their first majors in their 30s. Louis, of course, trying to win a second major in his 30s.
Well, if you had asked me in the last year or two who was going to win any major, my pick was always Louis Oosthuizen. Last Sunday, I picked Jordan Spieth, however. So let's talk about Jordan for a second. Why do you think Jordan plays so well on links courses? I mean, it's so much fun to watch his play and his creativity on the links.
Yeah, much like Augusta National, which really was created to be a parkland, you know, links course, you know, away from the ocean. That's why I think Jordan plays very well at Augusta and why he plays very well on links golf courses, because the imagination, the bump and run shots, the different shapes that you have to hit off of, the uneven lies, you know, especially at Royal St. George's, you're seeing players with the ball above their feet and below their feet. And that's what Alistair McKenzie and Bobby Jones built, you know, 2 hours outside of Atlanta in Augusta. It was a golf course with a lot of uneven lies and balls below the feet and above the feet, and wanted to kind of build a golf course that, even though it was a parkland, inland golf course, that had a lot of the characteristics of links. So I think when Jordan gets on a links golf course, he thinks less about swing mechanics and more about shaping shots onto these greens that have these humps and hollows and pot bunkers to avoid. And I think it brings out the artist in him as opposed to the mechanic. That's why I think Jordan already has a Clara Jugg on his shelf. I think that's why he's in contention for a second one this week. We know he's played very well this year. Started in Phoenix, where he started to get in contention, won in San Antonio, and now he comes across to the UK, where some of his best golf and his best kind of mental gifts and physical gifts are able to really come to the fore.
It's such a pleasure to watch him play on links courses. So he's still my pick. Colin Morikawa, very capable of winning in his Open Championship debut, Damon Hack. Just outstanding.
And why not? He won his PGA Championship in his PGA debut in his home state of California, TPC Harding Park. And this is someone whose ball striking ability really kind of evokes some of the best to ever do it, whether you're talking about Tiger and strokes gained, tee to green, or Ben Hogan. I mean, Colin Morikawa is someone who the other players talk about the gifts that he has in terms of his ability to hit the ball straight. And we see with that top tracer technology, not a lot of curve to his golf ball. You know, when he hits it off the tee, when he hits it towards the green, it's pretty much going on a direct straight line. And that just speaks to his ability to really kind of square that club face at impact. And a lot of his peers who are very good at what they do think that that's kind of his superpower. So he has a game built for major championships. He has a mind built for major championship stress. I talked to him also at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and I said, how good was it for you to knock off a major championship earlier in your career? You don't have to answer the questions that Sergio had to and Phil had to and Adam Scott about spending a decade trying to win his first major. And he said, Damon, it's huge that I don't have to carry that on my shoulders now. It's not that he can freewheel it, but he knows that he has that major championship question answered. That box has been filled. And he said, now it's all about adding major championship trophies. This is someone who will end up in the World Golf Hall of Fame. He has number one potential in his toolbox. And I think it's no surprise to anyone to see a ball striker of his level right there, one shot from the lead.
And so mature beyond his 24 years, for sure. Let's talk about Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, nowhere near the top of the leaderboard. And that social media feud, I think, has been a distraction for both of them, whether or not they're willing to admit that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll start with Bryson, who kind of threw his equipment manufacturer under the bus, saying that his driver sucked, which was really we don't hear players talk like this. And then, of course, he had to walk it back on social media and apologize. I think Bryson is trying to figure out how to be a superstar, and he's a little bit awkward, and it seems like in these media press conferences, he just says the wrong thing. You know, he's trying to say the right thing, and instead he says the wrong thing. At the U.S. Open, he said, oh, I don't care, you know, that I shot 44, already won a U.S. Open. And he said it was just bad luck and not bad shots. And we're all sitting there like, you know, Bryson, just own up to it. And I think he needs someone, whether it's a good PR person or a Jack Nicklaus, to kind of sit him down and say, you know, it's okay. When you lose, you put your arm around your competitor's shoulder and you say, well done, and you go back to work. And I just think he's lacking the maturity point in his career. And as far as Brooks goes, Brooks was my pick to win this week. I think it's been an odd year in that he hasn't had the time to put his body completely back together. He lost a lot of reps, practice time, tournament time, dealing with this knee injury. But he's also talked a lot. He's talked a big game, and he's kind of taken some subtle digs at Bryson, which might have taken his eye off the ball a little bit as far as inside the ropes. I still think he's one of the two or three mentally toughest players out there. But I think you talk to a Bill Parcells or a Bill Belichick, you limit distractions. You don't invite distractions onto your team. You do whatever you can to limit them. And I think both Brooks and Bryson are kind of dealing with that equation as it comes to major championship golf. You don't need distractions. It's hard enough trying to win a major championship.
That's absolutely right. I totally agree with you, Damon. Koepka, when he was winning those majors, so close to each other, was just so focused, and you know, there were no distractions, and that was one of the reasons why he was winning. And you're not just seeing that now; you're seeing all this other stuff going on off the course. How about Rory McIlroy, 7 years without a major title? He hasn't really been able to stay hot for any extended period. So what are your thoughts about Rory?
Yeah, 7 years, and Ann, it's going to be eight because he's not going to win today, and this is the last major of the year. To think that where he was in 2012, 2011, 2014, when really in the absence of Tiger, he was the dominant player before Jordan Spieth won those two majors in 2015. And this is someone who I talk to quite a bit at tournaments, and he's a thoughtful guy. He's now a father and a husband. In some ways, I wonder if, like in the old Rocky movie, he's gotten a little bit too civilized. You know, he's got so much comfort. He's won two FedEx Cups. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. And he's at a point in his career where, you know, the game looks so easy for him. And now he's got this generation right behind him of Rahm and Justin Thomas and Shoffley and Koepka, and they're these guys that are killers. And Rory, I think, used to be a killer, and now I think he's gotten civilized. And I think he's had a little bit of problem getting that fire and that motivation back, because the game was just sublime when he was winning majors by eight in 2011 and by eight again in 2012. And I think that he has to find a way to turn that thoughtful Rory and that sweetheart of a man that he is and kind of remember who he wanted to be when he said, in the absence of Tiger, someone has to step up in the game and be the alpha male, and I want to be that player. And that was him 7 years ago, and I think he's having trouble kind of finding that energy and motivation that he had, you know, half a decade ago.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that analysis. And last question, Damon, who are you picking?
Well, I had Brooks, and Brooks is not going to get it done today. So I tell you what, I was there in 2010 when Louis Oosthuizen got it done. I think for a golfer of his resume, and what I mean by that is of his gifts, of his swing, of how he makes us feel when he takes the club back, I feel like this is his time to add a second major championship. Jordan Spieth's bogeys on 17 and 18, missing those short putts, bothered me. I was ready to pick Spieth to win today. The fact that he's three shots back and coming off of a couple short missed putts, I don't think dinner tasted very good for him last night. I think Louis Oosthuizen from South Africa at the age of 38 adds a second claret jug today.
I hope you're right. It would be heartbreaking if he is not able to close this one out again. Hey, Damon, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, and let's do it again soon.
I'll see you soon, Ann. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much. The great Damon Hack.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.